This morning, let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. As I mentioned last Sunday, we're going to begin a wonderful quest through the chapter of Hebrews 11, which many have called the hall of church or Christian faith or saints' faith, because there is a number of demonstrations of the faith of men of God and women of God throughout this chapter. But I believe that before we get into the entire chapter, and I remember listening to one preacher, actually it was my mom's pastor down in Durham, North Carolina. I was able to get some of the tapes that he was preaching on. It took him about 3 years to get to this point in Hebrews as he was preaching through the book, and I think he was planning on spending another 2 years just in this chapter alone. I could be wrong, but there is a lot to go through because you're going through the history of the people of God from the very beginning with Abel here, and it goes on through. And we could even include others. Last year, we looked at some of the heritage that God has given us in our faith. We could go through those that perhaps aren't mentioned in Scripture throughout church history and look and see the faith that men and women of God have displayed all through the centuries. But I believe that we need to understand that as we come into this particular chapter, the importance of faith, before we look at the specific demonstrations of faith that we see in this chapter, I think it's very important for us to understand the foundation of faith. What is faith? The faith chapter doesn't actually begin, I believe, in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 11. I believe it starts back in chapter 10, and that's why I chose this morning before we began to read, beginning in verse 38 or verse 37, concerning faith. If you look back at chapter 10, verse 38, it says, "Now the just shall live by faith." Perhaps if I was writing the chapter divisions, I might have put chapter 11 there. I would have started it there, because that is the beginning here of the faith chapter and the topic of faith. And chapter 11 is really a demonstration and examples of godly faith. But faith is a very foundational topic, and I believe that we need to understand more about faith before we learn about the demonstrations of faith. Because you have to have faith before you can live by faith. If you look at these verses, beginning in verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 11, it says, "By faith." Verse 5 starts, "By faith." Verse 7, "By faith." It continues on through that chapter, "By faith, this is how these people live." But before you can ever live by faith, you've got to have faith. And that is why this morning I want to focus our attention on faith. If you look at verse 1 of Hebrews 11, it says this, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Verse 38 of chapter 10 says, "Now the just shall live by faith." Faith is central in the life of a Christian. Faith is absolutely essential and central to the life of a Christian. We all are Americans, and proud to be an American, I am. But we understand that there are certain documents and certain things within our nation that are central to the existence of the United States of America. Some of these documents are the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution of the United States, the Bill of Rights. These are central documents, and they are so vital and so important that our existence is based on these. This is how we became a nation. Our structure is based on these. This is why we have the executive branch, the judicial branch, and the legislative branch. This three-branch system was established for us in these founding documents that are central to our structure as a nation. But not only that, our very laws are founded upon these central documents. The Constitution, for example. The Constitution is the supreme law of the land. And this is why if someone has a problem or a concern in a court system, they can ultimately appeal up to the Supreme Court, which will then consider why or why not this issue is constitutional or not. These documents are of central focus of our nation's history. And they are so central, I was able to look some information up about these documents. They are still in existence today. They are quite faded. Over the centuries, they have decayed and deteriorated quite a bit. And you can actually go to Washington, D.C. and look in cases at these central documents to our country. You can look at them with your own eyes and you're going to notice that over the years they have worn down. But these original documents are so important to our structure, our existence, and our laws that our country wants to preserve them no matter what the cost. In fact, several years ago, they started a process of preservation of these documents. They spent 5 years, $5 million, and consulted hundreds of experts for one purpose, and that was to create a case that they could display these documents in so that they wouldn't deteriorate anymore. These are at the National Archives in Washington, D.C. And if you were to go and find out about these cases, they're cases made out of glass and titanium, and they suck out all the different gases except for one, and they try to keep and limit the amount of oxygen that can go into these cases. They are in such a preserved state there that they expect that over the next several centuries, no more deterioration will occur in these documents. Why is it that we as a nation will spend so much time and so much money and consult so many experts just to preserve these documents? It's because they serve a central place in our nation's history. Well, so it is with faith. Faith, it says here in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 11, is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is central in the life of a Christian. And because faith is so central, we need to look at what faith is itself. Faith is central. After all, the Bible says very clearly a Christian is saved through faith. John 3:16 is a very favorite verse. You probably haven't memorized. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Another favorite verse that you probably have in mind, Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. A Christian is saved through faith, and this is why faith is central to the life of a Christian. But not only that, a Christian lives by faith. If you look back at chapter 10, verse 38, that phrase there that says, now the just shall live by faith. This is a quotation of the Old Testament passage found in Habakkuk 2:4. And it demonstrates that a Christian, a just person, a person who has been redeemed by God and given his image and has been justified in the sight of God, the just shall live by faith. Faith is central in the life of a Christian. But it goes on. Not only is a Christian saved through faith, not only does a Christian live by faith, but a Christian hopes by faith. Again, we come to the text here in verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You see, faith is the foundation of a Christian's hope. You and I, if we did not have faith, we could not have any hope. Hope of the things that we've been singing about when we rejoice. We would be men most miserable if we did not believe in the death, burial, resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. If we didn't believe that Jesus Christ was coming again to redeem us completely and to bring us into His presence. We would be men most miserable if we did not have this hope. And we would not have this hope unless we had faith. Faith is central to the life of a Christian. Because it is a foundation of faith and hope, but also a Christian will see by faith. It goes on in verse 1. It is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence of your present and future blessings. Sometimes people pass away, and I remember when my dad passed away in 1995, it brought to my mind many things, many questions that I needed answered, many thoughts in my mind that I was concerned about, even what heaven was like. Is there a guarantee for someone to go to heaven? How can I know for sure that I'm going to enjoy the blessings of eternity? Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Evidence. What is evidence? Evidence is something that is proof. It is beyond any shadow of a doubt. It is not weak evidence. It is strong evidence. But it is evidence of things not seen. You might say, well, I don't have that kind of hope. It's hard for me to see into the blessings of the future for a Christian. This is why faith is central to the life of a Christian. Hebrews chapter 11 constantly repeats that phrase, by faith. Faith is so central, and you and I must live by faith, but you and I can never live by faith unless we first understand what faith is and, in fact, possess faith. I'm sure many of you this morning would like to find yourself, perhaps in heaven someday, thinking that you also, if this chapter would have been continued to be written, that you also might have been fit in here. Sometimes I would imagine, boy, wouldn't it be wonderful for people to think of me as a man who lived by faith. Several months ago, on a Wednesday night, we looked at a verse in verse 13, which says, and kind of sums up the patriarchs here that are listed, these all died in faith. And I suggested that wouldn't it be a neat thing to have on your tombstone? I mean, basically, this is their tombstone. We may not know exactly where they're buried. We may not see the inscription of where these men and these women, Abraham and Sarah, where they've been buried. But this essentially is their tombstone. These died in faith. If nothing else could be written on my tombstone, I would love to have that written on my tombstone. Not because that's what I want written on my tombstone, but because people want to put that on my tombstone. I know some people, before they pass away, they make all the prior arrangements. You listen to the radio, you watch TV, and people are always, these mortuaries are trying to get you to prearrange your funeral, which I would imagine would include you pick what you want on your tombstone. Years ago, we had a friend, my wife and I, who had her husband pass away, and he never told her what he wanted on his tombstone. And she spent nearly 2 years after his death to find just the right verse to put on his tombstone. 2 years. And she finally picked a verse. I don't remember what it was, but it was a verse that was very evident of this man's life and faith in Christ. What would someone put on your tombstone? Would they put what they put here about these patriarchs? This person died in faith? Faith is central to the life of a Christian. And if you want to live by faith, if you want to be known for your faith, you first must understand faith and also possess faith. And so that is why it is so critical for us to answer this question this morning. Do you have faith? Do you have real Christian faith? The faith that is mentioned about here in these verses, do you have faith? And because faith is so central, it is worth spending the time and the energy and the effort to understand and preserve biblical Christian faith. Just as we, as a country, spend hours and days and years and thousands and millions of dollars to preserve those documents that really we have the substance of those documents. We have them written in other documents. We have them in history books and things like that. So the substance of the words are important. But if we as a nation think that these documents themselves are important, it's just as important for us to know the true nature of faith. So, do you have faith this morning? To have faith, you must first understand what faith is. Do you understand and have a right understanding of faith? Faith is intelligent. Faith is a very intelligent thing. It is not based on ignorance. Some might believe that faith is just based on feeling. It is something that is based on ignorance. In fact, in this day and age, people look at people of faith and say they have really no substance. The question I want you to think about concerning faith, do you think faith is opposed to logic? Is faith opposed to science and evidence and truth? Mark Twain thought so. He thought anybody that was a believer or had faith was off his rocker. He said this about faith. Faith is believing what you know ain't so. He thought faith was based on ignorance. He thought people that had a Christian faith were ignorant people. But I want you to realize if you had a right understanding of faith, faith is not opposed to logic. In fact, it is a perfectly reasonable thing for us to possess. Faith is not opposed to science. Faith is not opposed to the rules of evidence and truth. Rather, faith is intelligent. Faith is a consideration, careful thought, and deliberation of the truths that God displays to us through His Word. You see, faith is a matter of the head. It is a matter of the head. Some of you might have wondered, well, what faith? Is faith something that you just make a blind leap of faith or make a jump in the dark and hope that wherever you land? There are some people that believe that concerning Christ. I've heard it said, you know, for someone in a witnessing situation and they talk about Christ and someone still rejects and refuses Christ, they say, well, why don't you just trust Him? And if it just so happens that it doesn't exist, what harm has it caused you in this life? Because you've lived a cleaner life, a better life? Is that real faith? Faith is substantive. Faith is intelligent. Faith is a matter of the head. And this is one aspect of faith that you must understand and must get a grip on if you want to understand true Christian faith. Faith is not opposed to reason and evidence. Faith is based on fact. It is based on fact. In fact, Jesus asked His disciples here in Matthew 22:42, He said, what think ye of Christ? That word think wasn't a blind step of faith. He was wanting them to look at all the evidence that He had displayed about Himself in His life, His words and His actions, and He said, what do you think? Use your mind. Think logically. Use the reason that God has given you and consider the facts that are on display and make a reasoned choice, because this is a matter of the mind. Romans 10:17, we see that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith is based on something substantive. It is based on the Word of God. You cannot have faith unless you hear, but you cannot hear truly unless you have the Word of God. Faith is something that is based on fact. But I want you to realize too that faith, real biblical faith, is not just a matter of the head. There are some that believe that if they just have a certain knowledge of the facts of and the truths of Scripture, that they're going to be saved. But the Bible very clearly teaches that faith is not just one-sided. It doesn't just affect your mind without it affecting any other part of your life. Faith affects not only your head, but it also affects other aspects of your life. James 2:19 says, you believe that there is one God, thou doest well. Again, here is a matter of the head. You think that there's one God? You believe that there's one God in your mind? You understand this reason? He says, you're doing well. But that's not real biblical Christian faith, a faith that saves and a faith that is life-changing. Because he goes on, you know the rest of this verse, the devils also believe and tremble. The devils themselves know that there's one God. They believe that there's one God. Yet does their faith save them? Absolutely not. Because their faith is just a matter of the head. And we need to understand that faith, though it is logical, though it is reasonable, though it is a matter of the head, it doesn't stop there. Rather, there are other elements. There are three other elements that we can look at that are part and parcel of Christian faith. And each of these elements, as you are to weave a tapestry together, will form the fabric of a Christian's faith. And so whereas faith is a matter of the head, it doesn't stop there. There are other strings that are weaved together that form the true fabric of a Christian's faith. And if you understand faith and realize the central place that faith has in your life, you are going to want this kind of faith. A faith that is not only a matter of the head, but is also a faith that is a matter of the heart. You see, faith is also very firm and not just a feeling. Some believe that faith is a feeling or based on something that they feel, an emotional thing. It comes and goes depending on the circumstances and emotions. I heard someone once say that if you've got to feel saved to be saved, you're not going to be saved most of the time. We all experience emotions in our lives. There are ups and there are downs. And there are some days where we think that we have great faith. And then there are other days where we think we have no faith and we have doubts. But I want you to realize that faith is not just a matter of the mind. It is a matter of the heart. It is a matter that it is not based on emotions, the emotional aspect of your heart, but it is involving your emotions and your heart to the Lord. We have the phrase called fair weather fan. What this is a picture of is someone that enjoys watching a baseball game or a football game as long as the weather's nice or as long as it's in a domed stadium where the temperature's always 70 degrees. You don't have to worry about snow. You don't have to worry about rain. Can you really call it football if it's not outside? I don't understand it. I mean, can you really play football on something other than real grass? I don't know. I'll let you Colts fans debate me on that, but did they really win? Okay, they won. But football has fair weather fans. We know that we're fair weather fans. I don't like to watch baseball that much anyways. But especially if it was raining, you could not get me to go to the Indian Stadium Victory Field and watch a baseball game. Why? Because I'm not that kind of a fan. We have fair weather Christians too. People that are going to believe when times are going good, or even on the converse, people that are going to believe when things are going bad. But you see, faith is not something that has its ups and downs. Faith is firm and not a feeling. It's not based on that. It is a fixation of the heart. In fact, David said this in Psalm 57, verse 7. He says, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed." And if no one else would have had an emotional roller coaster, David must have had. I mean, consider some of the things that he went through based on his sin, but of course we had family members that were trying to usurp his authority, get the kingdom himself, even kill him. He was running from his own son. And yet David said, "Lord, my faith is not based on my feeling, it's not based on my emotions, but it is based on my heart affection, and I'm going to fix my heart on you, Lord. This is where my faith is going to lie." So faith for David wasn't just a matter of the head, it was a matter of the heart as well. But does it stop there? Again, faith is not just a matter of the head, not just a matter of the heart, but it involves other things as well. Faith is not just a matter of the head or the heart, faith is also a matter of the will. And again, if you see any aspect of this faith in your life, perhaps you do not have the faith that the Bible is talking and teaching about. Because faith is bold and not blind. Faith is bold and not blind. It's not a blind leap of faith, if you've heard that phrase before. If I were to come over here onto the side of the platform here and I were to jump off, why would I do that? You might wonder why he would anyways. But if I were to jump off this platform, I would do so because I see the floor. Okay? If I didn't see the floor, you couldn't get me to jump. I saw how some Indians in Arizona are trying to get some tourist attractions in their place, in their reservation there in Arizona, right alongside the Grand Canyon. And there's a big hubbub about this because there were a lot of rights people that didn't want them to desecrate the landscape. And it was interesting because these Indians wanted to make a clear glass walkway over the Grand Canyon. It would jut out over the Grand Canyon and come back around, and it was some 70 feet out over the Grand Canyon. Okay? Unless I saw people going out on that walkway, I would not go on that walkway. Why? Because if that fell, where's the bottom? There is a bottom, but it's a long way down. You couldn't get me on there. You certainly couldn't get me to take a blind leap of faith, because that's not faith. Faith is rather understanding that is a matter of the mind, that floor is not going to move when I jump off this platform. I know that floor is not going to move on me. It's been there. I've seen other people walk off this platform, and it has held them up. But now I have to take it a step further and make it a matter of my heart as well. Because I am not going to jump on there unless I apply that and say, you know what, I really believe and I trust that that is going to hold me up. But then it's a matter of a will where I have to take that step and literally jump off the platform because I believe that that is going to hold me up. There's a lot of people that have faith that's a matter of the mind, or faith even that's a matter of the heart, but they haven't seen faith as a matter of the will, where they take the step of faith that is based on truth and fact that they base their heart upon, and they are making the decision to do what God has told them to do. You see, the fact is, faith is not blind. Faith is bold. Faith is bold. When you consider some of the men that are listed in Hebrews chapter 11, and later in this chapter, it talks about men that it doesn't even give them by name. And it talks about them who were quenching the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. But it says in verse 36 of Hebrews 11, they had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. They were in bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They wandered around in sheepskins and goatskins. Being destitute, they were afflicted. They were tormented. And then it says in verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. Their faith was not blind. Their faith was bold. It was not just a matter of the heart and the head. It was a matter of their will. They believed. And it was a bold step because it showed the grace and the power that God had over their lives. 2 Timothy 1 verse 12 says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things," Paul says. He says, "I am suffering these things. Why? Would you suffer the things that we just read about in Hebrews chapter 11 if you thought faith was blind? If you didn't know that God existed, if you didn't know that Jesus Christ came to save you from your sin, if you didn't truly have an understanding and a conviction in your heart that you were going to heaven when you died, would you be as bold as some of these others who were imprisoned, tortured, and even martyred for Christ?" Faith is not blind. Faith is bold. Paul said, "This is the reason why I suffer these things. Nevertheless," he continues in 2 Timothy 1:12, "I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Faith is a matter of a will. Faith is a conviction that is placed from the heart onto the faith of knowledge that we have from the Word of God. Faith is a matter of the head. Faith is a matter of the heart. Faith is the matter of a will. Faith is strong. But it doesn't stop there. There are some people that believe with their head, and they have fixed their heart upon the Lord, and yet they have also believe that it's not a blind faith. They do have some convictions about it, but yet they live their life as if they had no faith in God whatsoever. They live lives of sin. They live worldly lives. They enjoy the pleasures of sin and the pleasures of the world for a season. Faith, again, is a beautiful tapestry that is weaved together. When faith is a matter of the mind, the heart, the will, but also faith is a matter of life. It's a matter of living. Faith is active and not passive. There are many that believe that faith is just a passive thing. You've heard it said where I'm going to become a Christian because I'm going to buy it like an insurance policy. What is an insurance policy? It is something that you buy and then you wait after you've bought that policy. Perhaps you keep paying premiums. That's about the only active thing that you have to do. But then you wait for whatever catastrophe to happen before you get paid out on that insurance. Most of you probably have car insurance. How many of you want to use your car insurance when you leave church today? Sure, we'd like to use the money, but we don't want to have to go through the process of losing the car in order to get the money. I've been through that. It's not fun. How many of you have life insurance today? Don't raise your hand. Because then we'll know who to mark, right? You have life insurance. You don't want to die. But it's a life insurance policy. It's something that is there. But it doesn't change your living. It doesn't make you want to get in a wreck so you can get the money. It doesn't make you want to die so you can get your family the money. It does sometimes, I guess. But faith is a matter of living. It's not just an insurance policy. It is something that will affect your head, your heart, your will, and your everyday living. This is why we see in the book of James where it says that a man may say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." This is an active part of faith. It is an active part of faith that affects your life. People that say they have faith and they do not live that faith have no demonstration of that faith. And this is when we see here in Hebrews 11, people living by faith. You've got to have faith before you can live by faith. If someone's not living by faith, and it hasn't affected their mind, and their heart, and their will, and their life itself, then they do not have real biblical faith. And they can't live by it. People try, but they're going to fall. You cannot live by it unless you have it, because faith is a matter of living. Faith is a matter of all these things. The head, the heart, the will, and the life. Now, it does not consist of these things in stages. It doesn't mean that you're going to have faith of the head, and then later on in your life, you're going to have faith of the heart, and then maybe a few years later, you're going to have faith of the will, and then later on, that faith is going to be showing off up in your life. No. Faith consists of all these things. These four strands make up the fabric of faith that will save a soul, a lost sinner. But it does so, and it will grow. All these elements will be in your faith if it is true faith. This faith may be the size of a grain of a mustard seed, as Christ taught, but they will all be present like the parts of a baby's body. When you think about a baby and how a baby grows, it doesn't grow in stages. It doesn't start out with its feet, and then it goes up to its legs, and then maybe when they're 9, they get the rest of their torso, and then when they're 21 and they actually can start thinking for themselves, they have their head. We would think that that was deformed. That's a silly example. So it is with faith. Faith will grow in its entirety. Faith will grow when your mind is growing and your heart is growing and your will is growing and your life is growing in faith. It is an organic growth. Do you have a right understanding of faith? Because in order for you to live by faith, you must first have faith. Do you have this kind of faith? A faith that has captured your mind, has captured your very heart, has captured your will, and indeed your very life? Do you have this kind of faith? This is the faith that we need. This is the faith that saves. This is the faith that the people in Hebrews chapter 11 lived by. It is not just a mental thing. It's not just an emotional thing. It's not just a feeling. It's not just a passive thing. It is all the things integral together. This is what faith is all about. You need to have a right understanding for your faith, because without it, you cannot live by it. Do you have real faith this morning? Hebrews chapter 11 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. When you have this faith, you will have hope. And if you have this faith, you will see things by faith that no one else in this world can see. But it also says in verse 38, the just shall live by faith. Are you living by faith? Do you have this kind of faith? We want to also consider the focus of faith and also where we get faith from. We're going to save this for another time. My question that I gave you at the very beginning was, do you have faith? Do you have the kind of faith that the Bible teaches? It is not something that is ignorant. It is something that is intelligent. It is not something that is a feeling. It is based on fact. It is not just an emotional thing. It is something that you fix upon your heart. It is a conviction of your soul. It is not just a passive thing, but an active, life-changing faith. Do you have this kind of faith? Because you will never, ever be able to live by faith unless you first have this kind of faith. You need this kind of faith. The only source to get this kind of faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the disciples, they knew where they had to go for faith. The apostle said unto the Lord in Luke 17:5, increase our faith, Lord. Perhaps you see an element of this faith missing, or perhaps deteriorating or struggling. The disciples knew where to go for faith. They said, Lord, increase our faith. Once in the Gospels in Mark chapter 9, there was a man who had a possessed son that knew where he could turn for to save his son and help his son. And even this man had a sense of belief. He said, Lord, I believe. But he knew where he had to go to help his doubt. He said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Do you want to live a life of faith? Do you want to live by faith as these have done? Do you want to be known for your faith? You must first have it. And to get it, you must turn to the only one who can provide the real faith, the real thing. It's not something you can work up. It's not something, okay, you know, I didn't have faith yesterday, but today, by golly, I'm going to work up faith and get it in my life. No, you've got to go to the source. You've got to go to the one who can provide it. You can got to go to the one that says, I will increase your faith. I will strengthen your faith. Verse 11 of Hebrews 11 says, through faith also Sarah received strength to conceive seed. Where did she get the strength? At 90 years of age? Did she go out and join Gold's Gym so that she can become strong, so that she could have this child? No! It's through faith she received strength. She received it. Who? From the source of that strength. God Himself. He gave her the strength so that she, by faith, could deliver this seed and deliver this child because she was past age. So it is with us. If you do not have this faith, you must go to the source and say, Lord, increase my faith. Perhaps you have faith and you still have doubts in your life, but you see a germ seed of faith in your life and you say, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Because I want to live by faith, not by sight. I want to live by faith. I want to be included here in the lives of these men and women who have been displaying the faith that you have given to them. Oh Lord, increase my faith. You have faith. Shall we close in prayer? Lord Jesus, we thank you that it is through you that we have faith. It is because of you. You are the content and the source of the faith that we need to live, that will change our life. Lord, there's nothing that we in and of ourselves can do apart from looking at the Word and learning more about you. But the more we learn about you, the more your Spirit will give us that wonderful understanding so that what came in our mind will sink into our heart, will change our will, and will also affect our everyday living. And it's not going to happen in stages, step one, step two, step three, step four, but it's going to affect every aspect in its entirety. And we're going to see our faith grow. Lord, perhaps we're not growing in faith or living by faith because we really don't understand or have a right understanding of faith. Or perhaps there's someone here that does not have faith. Lord, I pray that you will teach us this faith and give it to us, show us the need for it. Because in order for us to live by faith, we must first have it. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I do want to ask you a question or two, and I want you to think in your own life the answer to that question. Do you have faith? The faith that we've seen in the Word of God. Do you have a faith that has affected not only your mind, but also your heart, your will, and your life? This is the faith that we ought to have. Do you have faith? If you don't have faith, you must go to the source. You must go to the Lord and say, Lord, I believe, I've seen some of the truth, I understand some of the truth, you've given me an understanding, but I still have questions. I still struggle. I still have doubts. Help thou mine unbelief, and he will increase your faith. Perhaps you this morning say, I do have this faith, and I have seen the organic growth of this faith in my life. Continue to believe. Continue to root, to ground your faith on the true substance of the Word of God. Realize that faith is not a blind leap in the dark, but rather it is a trust and a confidence that wherever you step, God is there and He has been there from the very beginning, and He is giving you guidance and wisdom every step of the way. Faith should affect your mind. Faith should affect your heart. Faith should affect your will. In fact, faith should affect your whole life. Pray and ask the Lord to give you a faith that is life-changing so that you, like these of old, can live by faith. Oh, Father, I thank you again that you have given to us this wonderful truth that the just shall live by faith. Help us to live by faith and not by sight. Help us to not to live for this world, but to live for the world that we can see by faith. Help us to have a desire to be known as men and women of faith and demonstrate that faith as we will see in the lives of these others. May it be demonstrated in our life as well. Help us, Lord, to be men and women and children of faith. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.